was yesterday the finest golf round in a major in golf history. We'll talk about that. Big 12 media day is getting underway. We'll discuss that. State softball going on from Fort Dodge and a whole lot more as we come your way here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Hi, everyone. Scott Unash back in the captain's chair. I guess it's the captain's chair. Is this the captain's chair, Mark?
It is in my mind, yeah. Okay. It's great to have you back. I mean, steering the ship and just being along for the ride are two different things. But I hope you had a good vacation. Thanks to Alex Kuhn, Tyler Ryder for sitting in with me last week. I thought we had a pretty good week. But, yeah, great to have you back.
Well, it's great to be back, and thanks to Alex. And thanks as well to Tyler Ryder. I understand it was a little bit of a hectic week, but I will let the boys talk about that coming up a little bit later on. We're going to talk to Mike Halas, the esteemed sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And there's quite a few things to talk about. A week from today, it'll be Big Ten Media Days. We got Big 12 Media Days going on for the next 2 days or so. Next week, Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. We will be there live, and that'll be Monday and Tuesday from 3 o'clock until 7 o'clock. It'll be the APC, the extended edition. We're going to go with 2 days this year of the APC, live from Media Days in Chicago. That is, of course, our coverage of that, as well as the countdown to kickoff brought to you by Coach's Corner and Carl and Ernie's in Iowa City. Thanks to Sean and everybody for helping us out with that. So football moving to the front burner, if you will, a little bit. And that's the one thing at this time of the year that you really look forward to, and that is football getting underway. And we'll talk a little football coming up on the program today here as well. Good vacation. It's different being in the southern part of the United States.
How so?
Well, it's just a different vibe. It's a different mindset down there. And it was a lot of fun being in the state of Tennessee and in the South during during SEC football media days. I mean, this thing is a full-fledged three-ring circus that they have outside of Birmingham. Mm-hmm. It's a four-day event. And, you know, it's you got everything down there. And, of course, you got controversy, more, I think, than in the SEC than any other football conference. But, again, I was reminded they take three things very seriously in the South, not in any particular order. there's a lot of advertising for guns, gun shows, gun shops, whatever the case may be, whatever side you're on, and I know it's a very controversial topic right now. Religion, there's a lot of religion in the South, and football. And like I said, not
which
just
is a religion in and of itself.
On Saturdays especially, and not in any particular order down there, but very relaxing, got a couple of rounds in. One good, one not so good.
Did you notice any scrawlings on public restroom walls that mentioned Tyler Ryder?
I did not.
No? Okay.
I did not. But I probably didn't frequent some of the same haunts that our friend Tyler did. Was in Knoxville, though.
Yeah.
Spent not very long, a couple hours.
Could have went and visited his high school.
I could have. I didn't. But also, it's very interesting because, of course, they had the memorial for Pat Summitt there. And that was, I believe, last Thursday night. And a lot of Peyton Manning came in, a lot of UT people coming in for that. And that was, along with SEC Media Days, that was the other big thing down there in the Smoky Mountain National Park area that we were in. But good to be back. You get that post-vacation bump a little bit. You know, you get the batteries recharged a little bit. Then I look at the calendar, and we're about 5 weeks away from the start of high school football, and then I start to panic a little bit more. But we'll have that. And then, of course, college football starts the week after that, and pro football starts the week after that. We mentioned a couple things. First of all, state softball going on, that in Fort Dodge at the Harlan Rogers Complex up there, just a beautiful complex if you haven't been up there. The drought continues. It will now be 18 years since the Mississippi Valley Conference team won a state big school softball championship. Cedar Rapids Prairie, the lone hope for the MVC this year, and Prairie was shut out by number two rated West Des Moines Valley earlier on this afternoon, that by a score of 5-0. So Prairie will go on to the consolation bracket. Yes, they still play consolation rounds at the state softball tournament. I don't think any other girls' sport does that. I think they've gotten rid of them in every other sport except softball. But, hey, you're there in Fort Dodge. Might as well play it out to all eight places, right? So 9 o'clock tomorrow in the morning, Prairie will take on Davenport West. West fell to Pleasant Valley in a all-MAC showdown, that by a score of 9-0. So that is the way the 5A is going on right now. Class 1A going on earlier today. Akron Westfield all over West Harrison of Mondamin, that by a score of 13-1. And Newell Fond beat New London by a score of 2-1. Games going on right now. Martinsdale St. Mary's taking on Charter Oak Ute in the 1A game. And in Class 5A going on right now, it's the all-CIML affair. In fact, both of them are all-CIML. It'll be Urbandale and Indianola.
Lansing Key and Belle Plaine getting together tonight in the 1A quarterfinals. Then a heavy Eastern Iowa influence among tomorrow's games. Iowa City, Regina, Solon, Mount Vernon, Benton Community all in action.
Yeah, and great to see Jeff Linder pen an article about my good friend Eric Stenberg, former teammate of mine, 1983 and 84 with the Kennedy Cougars, and heck of a catcher. Maybe one of the best. And Kennedy's had some good catchers.
Mm-hmm.
Still, I saw Eric hit one of the longest home runs I've ever seen. Went over the tennis courts. And yes, that is a true story over at
Kennedy.
In
right field.
He was a left-handed hitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And not only a terrific coach for Benton Community softball, but also works at Iowa City, I believe, hospital.
Leads an interesting life.
Overnight. He is the overnight ER technician,
physician,
or whatever the case may be, physician. And, boy, I don't know when he sleeps, man. But he's getting it done on both ends. So that was a neat article that Jeff put together today.
And he's got a terrific team, number one in the state. And probably, he said in the story that he's got players that come in along once in a lifetime, but 1 through 9, 1 through 12, however many, it's a terrific team, and I know Eric hopes to finish it off with a state title.
And he said he does coaches softball like he did with baseball, and of course he's a guy that learned under Bill Herkelman as well, so I'm sure there's a lot of Herkisms going on in Van Horn and around Benton County since Eric took over. You were out and about last Wednesday. We're going to be out and about again coming up this Wednesday at Lunchbox Heroes. We're going to be at the brand new Thompson Truck Center. That is just down 6th Street here. And they're just moving down the street from just down the block here, basically, from our studios on the southwest side. And so we're going to be there coming up on Wednesday. Saying a big thank you to the workers showing up and providing food, drinks, prizes for the workers each week. And couldn't do it without our great sponsors, and should have a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a great Wednesday at Cargill West last Wednesday. It was warm and humid, and
it was
whatnot.
Just you and
Tyler Ryder. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got through it, though.
We did, yeah.
Good.
And it was a big group, 100 workers or so. But yeah, we'll be back at Thompson Truck Center on 6th Street, south of Cedar Rapids, here this Wednesday.
Brought to you by Built by Pros, Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust, Mediacom, McGrath Power Sports, Chick-fil-A, Lindale and Coralville, Dr. Pepper, Acme Tools, Keeks Career Apparel, 7G Distributing, Star Equipment, and Airgas. And thank you for helping us out with Lunchbox Heroes. Big 12 Media Days going on today and tomorrow. And, of course, the big topic will not be broached until tomorrow, the way it sounds, and that is expansion. Big 12 presidents are going to talk about it with the conference call with the media tomorrow, and speculation is that it is going to be all but dead for Big 12 expansion, and probably will not happen until the end of the current TV contract, which goes through 2024. Do you buy that? Now, remember, contracts tend to be broken. So you're talking 2024. That is a long time to not talk about expansion, especially when it might not be the Big 12 that starts it out, but If somebody starts it out, the Big 12 is going to rev up the engine. I don't believe it either. Bob Bowlesby will speak tomorrow to close out Big 12 Media Days. Also, Big 12, of course, they are going to the Big Ten's edict is not to schedule FCS teams, 1AA teams. Big 12, their edict is to you must now schedule one Power 5 team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the big thing. And that's starting a lot of the teams this year. You've got Oklahoma, who's playing Ohio State, and they're playing the Houston Cougars this year. That's going to be a tough non-conference schedule. Kansas State's going to play Stanford. Arkansas is going to play TCU. Oklahoma State gets Pitt. And Texas Tech's going to play Arizona State. So they are adopting what we talked about a couple weeks ago. And I think that's great. I think every Power 5 conference should play at least one other Power 5 team in a non-conference. Of course, Iowa gets Iowa State.
Yeah.
So they have that. Matt Campbell came out and said everything that you would thought that Matt Campbell would say today. Players are buying into his system in Ames. He expects the team to come out, play hard, and they're ready to surprise some people, which is pretty much what you would expect a first-year coach to say. And that's exactly what he said today at Big 12 Media Days. We haven't even talked golf yet.
No, we haven't. 319-366-1600 if you have a comment or a question. That's our Guppies on the Go text sign. When you're on the go, we would certainly like to know. Give us a text to that number, as Air Black has done, 5594. Just add Houston, Cincinnati, and be done, Big 12.
Yeah. Houston doesn't really... Two things in favor of Houston. Number one, it's got a good football program right now, but how long is Tom Herman going to stay there? He's there for now, but again, contracts are made to be broken, and it is a big market.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball, Houston doesn't really do anything for you. Cincinnati is not a huge market. It's a big market, but not a huge market. Football program, they're okay. They're fine. Basketball, yeah, they're fine. I could see Cincinnati and Houston.
Just don't force the issue just to, you know, bring the number of teams to 12. If it doesn't feel right, doesn't sound right, don't do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the Big 12 is at right now.
We're going to talk to Mike Halas about this coming up in a little bit. But Mark, as we mentioned at the top of the show, and if you want to weigh in, you can at 319-366-1600. Yesterday, by gosh, we were driving home, and the entire vehicle riveted to the play-by-play, and ESPN and PGA Tour Radio did a great job with that. I hope everybody enjoyed it on Saturday and Sunday. And it was maybe the best duel that golf has had in 39 years. Maybe the best duel ever. I don't know. A lot of people said Watson, Nicklaus at Turnberry in 1977 was the best. Was this better than that one back in 1977? Henrik Stenson versus Phil Mickelson. And Henrik Stenson, you could come up with a pretty good argument, may have had the single best final round in a major in golf history.
Well, I thought it was just phenomenal. An epic duel between two guys who had distanced themselves from the field. And, you know, without Henrik Stenson, Phil would have won by 11 strokes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Phil was lights out, and Henrik Stenson won that. Phil did not lose yesterday.
Exactly. And Henrik Stenson's been a very good player for a long time, and he finally wins his major, but it was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Became a two-player tournament, really, in the third round. And, you know, you felt for Phil, but I totally agree with you. He didn't lose that tournament. Henrik Stenson won it. And to shoot six, you know, those two guys, their best ball yesterday would have been 59. In the final round of a major.
With the wind blowing. Not great playing conditions.
Best ball, 59, that last group.
It's pretty good.
That is good.
Stenson shot a 63. And three putted once. Technically, it was another three putt, although He was just off the green on number one, so it was technically a two-putt. You give him pars in both of those, and you're talking 61 to close out on a tough golf course. That was the lowest, I believe, ever in an Open Championship, lowest ever in a major. It was 20 under. It was a while before anyone got to 10 under. Now the bar has been set to 20 under. The old course at St. Andrews, not when Zach won last year, but the prior year, when the wind did not blow a whole lot and it was not hard and fast, they had some low scores. I think 18 or 19 under won it that particular year. But Troon doesn't give up scores like this. And you take away Stenson and Mickelson,
it was a good tournament.
The golf course won again.
Well, they were in the championship flight, and everybody else is in other flights.
Yeah, J.B. Holmes won.
won the first flight.
Won the first flight yesterday over beef. The world was introduced to one of the great secrets in golf.
Entertaining guy.
With Andrew Johnston, who was known the world over as beef. He's a rotund young man.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. His dad wasn't a soccer player, but he was a rugby player, I believe. And Mr. Johnston kind of resembles that a little bit. He's a big man. But back to Stenson, he's been on the cusp. He's not been a great putter. He's kind of been the European Dustin Johnson, basically, over these years. He doesn't hit it quite as long as Johnson. No one hits a 3-wood better in the world than Henrik Stenson.
No.
Maybe even he's right up there as far as top five ball strikers, probably top five long iron guys as well. And he just had a week where he made everything he looked at.
Well, he striped everything yesterday, nearly everything. But like I said, they answered each other up until the last couple holes. The no-brainer 50-footer on 16 sealed the deal.
Yeah.
For Stenson. A putt off the green that he's just hoping to get up and down for par, and it goes in. And what's Phil to do?
Feel bad for Phil because he's at age 46 now, and he's not. Is he going to get a lot more opportunities to win? I think he is. And they were talking about it today on Russillo and Cannell that don't bet against Phil for being the oldest. Right now, I believe Julius Burrows at 48 is the oldest winner of a major. I can see Phil winning one at 49 or 50, especially at Augusta, where he's already captured several green jackets. You could see that. He's turned himself into a very good links player. And, you know, Phil's not going to go away just because he didn't beat Henrik Stenson yesterday. And who knows, Stenson, this may kickstart him. A lot of times you see, the Jason Duffners or whatever that they win a major and then you don't hear from them for a while. And then they get the game going again. But I think Stenson, once he wins his first one, he might win a few more. He's that good a golfer.
Yeah, he's 40, and I don't think you're going to – you've heard the last from him. You haven't heard the last from Dustin Johnson. But and I don't see him being another Webb Simpson, winning a major and then not doing anything for
Lucas
years.
Lucas Glover.
Yeah. I enjoyed the heck out of it. Normally, I don't like to see lopsided events, when one player is so far ahead. But it was two players. It was a match play situation. Pretty much.
Yeah, it was.
Even though the rules are different. But I just thought it was terrific theater.
I thought it was as well. And we'll get Mike Colossus' impressions on that. Zach Johnson defended the Claret Jug very well. Was in it until Saturday when things kind of derailed a little bit for Zach. But he did a terrific job and really had a good tournament.
Yeah, he did. He tied for 12th and won under par and got a great ovation at 18 yesterday as he completed his defense of the championship, and I thought he acquitted himself quite well. The best defense since Patrick Harrington won back-to-back in 07 and 08. Zach has really solidified himself, not only as a member of the Ryder Cup team, but his legacy going forward is just being added to, it seems like, every event.
And they'll go from Troon to Glen Abbey this week for the Canadian Open, and then you're right back to another major here coming up in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, as they will be reconvening in New Jersey at Baltusrol to play the PGA Championship. Of course, that's usually in August, but moved up due to the Olympics. And who knows who's going to be in the Olympics as far as golf is concerned. Still don't know who's going to be representing each country down there for the most part, especially for the United States.
Well, I think I think the deadline has passed, actually, in terms of qualification and committing whether you're going to go or not. I could be wrong about that, but Kuchar is replacing
Spieth.
Kuchar and Patrick Reed are on the team now, I believe.
I believe it is.
So, yeah, a lot of golfers, I think nearly 20, have already decided not to play. And it's a strange thing because male golf, unlike any most other sports, the number of players pulling out is quite high. And, I think it has as much to do with the fact that Olympic gold medal is not a high priority for golfers and never has been because there hasn't been that opportunity.
True. Now, if it goes later in the fall at another Olympic venue, that might be totally different. But then you got to decide, do I want to chase FedEx Cup dollars or do I want an Olympic medal? So that'll be the next time around, or at least one of the next few Olympics. They'll have to make that decision. Because there's a boatload of money at the end of that rainbow in the FedEx Cup. Are you buying, before we get to a break here, I know we're overdue at 3:26, but do you buy? There was a lot of talk over the weekend. I know Johnny Miller, made some controversial statements about Rory McIlroy. He's too ripped, spending too much time in the gym, trying to look too good out there. Does he have a point? Rory didn't play bad. He was not real good with the putter. He lipped out three or four. Wasn't real good from 100 yards and in. Not Rory-esque and Rory-like. But does Johnny Miller have something, or is he just hot-taking it?
Tied for sixth. Rory McIlroy did. Is he any more ripped than Jason Day? Probably not. I don't know.
Who had a bad week?
He didn't have a great week. I think it was a play by Johnny Miller that didn't work out so well.
Dear NBC, please put Mike Tirico and David Faraday on and just forget about everybody else. I can't see and my eyesight's better than Maltby. I'm just saying that.
Isn't everybody's? 7098 Cyclone Tim on the text line. Make the Olympic medals worth FedEx points and they'll be there in a minute.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah.
Darn right they will. Well, maybe that's something for golf to look at in the future. We're going to take a break, come back. We'll talk a little golf. We'll talk sports with Mike Halas, the sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We talk with him every other week throughout the summer here on KGYM on the Gym Class on Mondays. And we'll talk with him when we come back here on KGYM.
Hey golfers, it's time for the annual Golf Headquarters July Blowout Sale. Everything will be sold at the lowest prices of the year. TaylorMade Callaway Cobra, all the great brands at blowout pricing. It excludes all custom special order and ping products. Golf bags, shoes, balls, clubs, and more at prices too low to advertise. Remember, in stock only. TaylorMade Jet Speed Hybrid, $69.99. Jet Speed Fairway Wood, $79.99. $20 off all golf bags and take an additional $10 off all golf shoes. Nike Vaporfly Drivers, $50 off and $40 off Nike Fairway and Hybrid Clubs. Titleist Reload Pro V1s, only $18 a dozen. Golf Headquarters July Blowout Sale starts now. Tour Edge 3 Wedge System, only $99. Men's and ladies' golf shoes from $48. 20 to 60% off all golf clothing. Shirts from $7. Remember, Golf Headquarters July Blowout starts now, in stock only, and prices too low to advertise. Golf Headquarters, 1961 Blair's Ferry Road, Cedar Rapids. July Blowout Sale.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Oh, hi there. I'm Murphy, you know, the one the law's named after. Excuse me, please. There's a little computer something I need to take care of. Well, that's better. When it comes to your computer network, it's my job to make sure whatever can go wrong does go wrong. About the only thing that keeps old Murphy at bay is Network Computer Solutions. I put you out of business, and Network Computer Solutions gets you up and running fast. Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, The Gym Class on KGYM.
Back with you here on the Monday edition of The Gym Class. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Alex Kuhn, our producer, as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on a Monday here on KGYM. Twins baseball coming up tonight. We'll talk about this a little later on because Terry Ryan fired today by the Minnesota Twins, the general manager of that ball club. And he was replaced by Rob Anthony on an interim basis. But imagine Rob Anthony will stay there throughout the 2016 season, the remainder of the season. We will join Twins baseball coming up tonight at 7 o'clock as they will be in Motown to take on the Detroit Tigers at Comerica Park. We'll join up probably about third or fourth inning tonight. That will be at 7 o'clock this evening. Mark, you will not be the new general manager of the Twins, correct?
No, I don't want to be the next scapegoat.
What if you turn things around?
I think I'll stay with my day job, okay?
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. By the way, almost got to see, if it wasn't sold out Saturday night, the Friday night. Because Saturday night, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
We'll talk about that later. But was down in Chattanooga, the AA home of the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful ballpark, AT&T ballpark down there, right along the Tennessee River downtown. I wanted to go see my friend Tommy Watkins, and couldn't get in the gate.
Sold out.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty good. But Saturday night's a beautiful downtown area there. All right. Enough of Scott's travel. Let's go to Mike Alas, who joins us here on the Monday edition of the show. And, of course, Mike, the terrific sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can follow him on Twitter, at Halas. You can also read his great stuff at thegazette.com. Happy Monday to you, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm off a week of vacation myself, so first day back is always kind of tough, isn't it?
My batteries are recharged. You find your batteries get recharged when you come back?
No, they just pretty much go completely dead.
I'm different then. You weren't in the southern part of the United States, though, correct?
No. I see the whole thing about going south is it's something you're supposed to do when it's cold here. One time I went to New Orleans in August. That wasn't the smartest move I ever made, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's a little warm and humid.
Although several years ago, went to Hawaii in August, and that turned out to be really good because it was off-season and there was a little more room to, you know, throw your elbows around.
Well, I'll think of that for future reference.
Not for you guys bragging about your vacations.
Yeah, you know, look, I heard you talking about, what were you just talking about?
Oh, we were talking about Chattanooga, the AA team, the Twins AA down there.
Yeah, oh, you said that you wouldn't take the Twins general manager job, Dukes.
And no.
And my question is, who knew the Twins had a general manager?
I'll nominate Jeff Johnson for that job, okay?
He tries to do it anyway.
Yeah, I know he does. Hey, Mike, you've covered a lot of, Masters, John Deere Classics, and professional golf events. Have you ever seen anything like yesterday at Troon?
Well, there was that showdown at the Deer No, not.
Not the same panache.
No, J.L. Lewis against Robert Dameron didn't quite measure up. I guess not. But, you know, I heard you guys talking. What I do is I sit in the office and I put the earplugs into the computer and listen that way, and nobody knows that I'm not working. It's pretty beautiful. But I heard you talking about, Stenson and Mickelson, yada, 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 and man, to me, the best story of the whole deal was McIlroy, and you mentioned him too. But he got mad, and he slammed his 3-wood to the ground, and he broke it, and I loved it. I thought that was great. It's like, you know what? I don't relate to Henrik Stenson shooting a 63 in a British Open. Who relates to that? That doesn't make sense. Give me a guy who's out on a golf course and who's mad and slams his club and breaks it, and it's like, yes, that's my brother.
That wasn't the only guy. There was another one, I think, on Saturday.
Some guy named Thomas Peters, who I never heard of before, he snapped a club and he threw it in the bush. That was pretty good. But, you know, it's hard to really make a spectacle of yourself when you're at a course that doesn't border water. When you've got water, then the potential is there for really magical things. And, I mean, we've seen John Daly do it before. I mean, I was at the PGA in Wisconsin last year when John Daly threw a club into Lake Michigan, and it's like, it's pretty hard to top that.
I was there, too. That was magical.
But you know what? Who wouldn't want to do that, really? I'd love to take a golf club and throw it in Lake Michigan.
Yeah, and that was the best shot he had in that hole, too, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, they talk about what a gentleman Heinrich Stenson is. You know, well, yeah, you know what? I could be a gentleman, too, if I just won the British Open, shot a 63. But there, you can go on the Internet, and you can find a lot of footage of Heinrich Stenson acting like a fool. Just getting mad and breaking things and throwing things, and it's like, okay, he's not such a stiff after all.
Yeah. Well, even Phil had a very un-Phil-like moment with some photographers over the weekend that were moving, bothering him just a little bit. So, you know, the tension's there.
Hey, you know what? It's high-stakes poker, and beyond McIlroy breaking his club, what I really liked was in a press conference, I think, before the tournament started, they were asking him about not playing in the Olympics. And he said, I didn't get into golf to get other people into the game. He's trying to win championships.
Yep.
And I like that. It was honest, and he got ripped for it. Why? You know, most of these guys aren't going to the Olympics, and they're lying about why. Using the Zika virus as an excuse, that's not why they're not going. They're not going because they've got hectic summer schedules and they just don't want to. There's nothing in it for them.
Wait till the Olympics, like we were talking about, moves to a fall time. Then they got to choose between the FedEx Cup and a gold medal. And I guarantee you they're not going for the gold medal.
Who needs golf in the Olympics? I mean, there are enough sports in the Olympics nobody cares about. I mean, you've got the whole, I mean, basically almost all of them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the reason I'm not talking about this golf tournament itself yesterday is because, you know, frankly, most people don't like it and don't care. Whether you think it's true or not, I mean, you compare TV ratings to the British Open compared to TV ratings for, like, NFL draft, you know?
NFL.
Begin to compare.
An NFL exhibition game.
Any college football bowl game, you know, the Cure whooping cough bowl. That will get a better rating than the British Open. Well, it won't really, but it'll be comparable.
Yeah, you're right. 3:37, Michael Ost joining us here in the Monday edition of the program.
How about Mickelson, though? Mickelson.
Yes.
Dude's 46.
He could win one when he's 50.
You guys are closer to 46 than Mickelson is to Jordan Spieth. So that should be a particular pleasure to you guys, that a guy who's 46 did as well as he did. And then Stenson's like 40, isn't he?
He's 40. And what struck me, I mean, Mickelson would have won the tournament by 11 strokes had Stenson somehow not been there.
I know. If Stenson would have had the decency to stay in Sweden for the weekend, they would have said that Mickelson, I mean, the world would be saying, are you kidding me? Phil Mickelson won the British Open by 11 shots and he's 46 years old. Way to ruin it, Stenson.
Ruined a great... Although, you know, first male Swede to win a major. You know, we don't care really in America about that as much as they do in Europe, but at least there was
They probably care about it more in Sweden.
Right. The Scandinavians are partying out of their minds today.
They're cracking smiles.
Zach had a... Before we leave golf, Zach had a very good tournament, finished in a tie for 12th, and did a great job of defending the Claret Jug. He was in it through the second round, did not have a great third round, and that kind of derailed things as far as trying to win it back-to-back for him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, his first 16 holes Thursday were terrific.
Yeah.
But he bogeyed the last two holes there. And then, I mean, he hung in there. But, look, you had to be a superhuman. You had to be a superhero to stay with the top two guys. And the rest of the world couldn't do it. I don't know how they did it myself. There must be something to getting to drafting, you know. One guy's hitting shots like that, and the other guy follows right along. But as far as Zach, I'll tell you what, I never paid attention, but I never saw anybody milk a year with the British Open Championship like he did. Really? I mean, my gosh. He got the most out of that, and I salute him for it. I think that's what people should do. If you get a traveling trophy, hey, for 12 solid months, remind the people, this thing's mine.
Absolutely.
It got so out of hand that it ended up in the KGYM studios one day.
Yeah. What's there now?
Nothing comparable to the Claret Jug, I'll tell you that.
No, not even close. We have a Glenn. We have a Glenn Perkins bobblehead.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, which co-host of the APG is that?
It's Tyler, Todd, and Glenn. Glenn Weston Perkins. Michael Oss joining us at 3:41 here.
But what about the signed bowling pin from the 2012-13 season?
That's right, of the
Rusty Nails Championship.
That's not fetching a lot on eBay, Mark. And I'm a member of the team. Week from today, it'll be the Big Ten Media Days, the media frenzy, if you will, in Chicago. And do you look forward to these things? I mean, what are you looking at this year? I was coming off the Western Division Championship. And obviously, that's going to be the big subject up there surrounding Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes. But what are you looking forward to in Chicago next week?
Oh, it's the same thing I look forward to every year, getting back home. this year, it's just such a reversal from a year ago in terms of the narrative. A year ago, there wasn't anybody who really wanted to talk to Ferentz or his players other than Iowa media. And this year, everybody's picking them to win their division. You've got Iowa players in preseason, all-conference teams, all-America teams, all these goofy award watch lists. We're right back to where we were a few years ago with great expectations. And so the story is going to be now, okay, here we are again. Now you're hyped. What are you going to do about it? And once again, their schedule is very favorable. So, you know, if they're really good, they could have another fantastic record.
But everything seemed to go right for that team last year, and you can't expect that every year. But my question to you, Mike, is what watch list would you most likely like to be on? That's how silly it is. Come on.
I'm on a few watch lists. but it's not my job to tell, you know, to give you the government's business.
I gotcha.
The watch list. Desmond King was not on a watch list last summer. All right. He won the Thorpe Award for the nation's best defensive back. So he was on the watch list that counted when they narrowed it down to one. But these schools, they take full advantage of it. I mean, and why shouldn't they? They're trying to sell whatever tickets they have left. And, hey, all these players are getting all this kind of recognition. Well, it doesn't last forever, and take advantage of it while the going is good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's getting to the point, everybody's pretty much included on these watch lists, and now they have coaches' watch lists.
Yeah, coaches' watch lists.
So I don't get that. Aren't coaches supposed to win games?
I don't know. Scott, it's just a crazy world.
Yeah, it is. It is a crazy world.
Hey, Mike,
but being serious, I saw a story that interested me. There's a website, a sports website called sportsonearth.com. I realize that there are all kinds of websites, but this one actually has good writing and interesting writing, and it has a college football writer named Matt Brown, who I've got a lot of respect for. And he had a story last week where he picked his top 128 players, because there are 128 Division I-A teams. And he didn't pick one from each team, but he said these are his 128 guys. Well, you know, that's about as unscientific as you can be, but I respect his opinion. He had just as many guys from Iowa on that list as he did from Ohio State, four of them. And, I mean, he only had one from Wisconsin, two from Michigan State, one from Northwestern, nobody from Nebraska. So, I mean, that, it's legitimate, the kind of preseason praise that they are getting.
3:45 on the Gym Class. Mike Halas joining us. And, Mike, we talked to you with your colleague Scott Dockerman on Friday about some of the basketball goings-on. And at that time, we didn't know that Devin Marble was going to be traded the Orlando Magic to the Clippers, and then the Clippers up and waived Devin Marble, thus not guaranteeing his contract. So, and we talked to Scott about the difficulty Utah and Niang and Page and others might have making the NBA. My point is, you got a guy like Marble who just had a terrific college career, and it sometimes it doesn't translate, it not at least yet. So I guess your thoughts on Marble even playing again in the NBA.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the contract stuff is so complicated. I can't begin to pretend I understand it, but I think with Marble, it was, if his third-year option got picked up, it was $900,000. And maybe somebody's saying that that's a lot of money for your 14th or 15th guy. I mean, they're obviously throwing tens of millions at some of these guys who I would consider stiffs. But, I mean, Marble's a marginal end-of-the-bench NBA player when last we looked. And he played well in the summer league, but because of some Orlando wanted to get a player from the Clippers and get a player who was cheap, and they did, and in return they send Marble to the Clippers. And it was just, it happened a lot in the NBA. Players or teams pick up a player and his salary, so that they can immediately drop it and take it off the books. As for what his future is, I have no idea. He's basically got to worm his way into a camp and play lights out in a short period of time, and that's tough duty.
It is, and a guy that's at least starting to do that is George Niang with Indiana. And more and more I read about it. In fact, not only is he going to make this team, he may get a little bit of playing time anyway next year. And but going from not even talking about being drafted for George Niang, it doesn't surprise me, because I was saying on this show, he's just a winner, and he just keeps doing things to help the team. And he's going to make the Pacers.
Well, they signed him to a three-year contract last week. Don't know what's guaranteed and what isn't, but they only had one draft pick. And so right there, that's a big break for him. You go to a team that only gets one pick. Teams want to have a rookie for salary purposes, if nothing else. And then Pacers management, Larry Bird on down, look at, you know, the way that basketball's going, and these forwards who can play four different positions, it seems, and play all over the court. This is all the rage in the NBA now. Draymond Green sort of made it the in thing. And, yeah, Niang can do so many things well that it can make up for whatever shortcomings he might have physically or even defensively. So I'm interested to see what he can do. But, look, I expect the guy to be, you know, maybe their 11th or 12th guy. And he may have to go down to Fort Wayne and play some D-League ball a few weekends a year, but this first year. But hey, if you're on a league roster, you're living pretty well. And Aaron White, I think, has got a better than 50-50 chance of making the Washington Wizards too, and it would be the same story with him.
It's a short drive from Indianapolis to Fort Wayne, so that's not a lot of problems.
No, and the checks cash the same in Fort Wayne as they do in Indy.
True.
One of the topics being floated, Mike, in college football is getting eliminating kickoffs in the college game. Actually, that's the subject of our poll question today. KGYMradio.com. Are you in favor of the NCAA eliminating kickoffs in college football? I haven't thought a whole lot about this, but I don't know that covering a kickoff is and returning a kick is any more dangerous than a wide receiver going full speed across the middle against the safety going full speed at him. But I guess I'll ask you what you think about kickoffs in college football.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what the percentage of injuries are on those, but maybe they've just decided it's a needlessly dangerous play. I think it just all it points to something larger, which is that I think people are getting more and more kind of nervous and people wince a little bit more all the time at football. And what you just said, I don't know what the status of it is, but I think that football is a game that is going to have a hard time fitting into future generations, and I'm sure that the old guard out there can't believe that. But does it tie into the way that people are going to live in the year 2050? I don't know. I sort of wonder. I really do. I mean, look, I know how you guys just start curling up in the fetal position when the word soccer is mentioned, but they had this European tournament, and then they also had this tournament that the U.S. was in, the Copa America tournament a couple of weeks ago, and I couldn't believe the people who were paying attention and who I thought didn't pay attention. And the younger people who I work with are really into it. And I'm not just talking about sports writers. I'm talking about other people in the building.
You're telling me that gets a better rating than the British Open, Copa America?
I don't know. But there were a lot of people interested in when the U.S. got to the semifinals. You know, I think it was a fairly big deal.
Yeah.
It's just the world keeps changing. And look, I mean, football, it used to be they played it in leather helmets, you know, without face guards. Well, at some point, you either figure out a way to make it a little safer, or I think you're going to lose a considerable chunk of the public. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of parents out there who are happy when their kids don't play football.
And I do believe in the next quarter of a century, you're going to see a big change as far as football is concerned. I think it's still going to be around and doing fine, but I think you're going to see a lot of different rule changes to promote safety. It's already starting. And
if they're truly serious about improving the safety of the game, they probably should eliminate it.
Oh,
I don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think kickoffs are going to be eliminated. I think punts are going to be eliminated. Don't ask me how they're going to determine exactly where the offense is going to start the next possession, but I do think we're going to see that eliminated coming up as well. But football, as of right now, is still the king. And
I mean, look, in 2016, it's not even close.
No.
But with each passing year, we read these horror stories about CTE and what concussions have done to people. Sports Illustrated had its annual Where Are They Now story or issue, a great issue. I mean, there are some really, really good stories in that. And one of them was Rick Thielander's on Refrigerator Perry. The man is, I think he's about 50. He's a mess.
Yeah.
An absolute mess.
Yep. Well, Mike, vacation's over for both of us, so we're back to work. And what are we looking for this week from you in the Gazette?
Oh, I might try and take a few days off.
Okay. Get ready for Chicago. Sounds good. Hey, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Mike Halas. Read his stuff on Twitter, at Halas and at thegazette.com. Break coming up and more of Gym Class after this.
Beating the heat, it's what summer's all about. And at AutoZone, we know that with your car's battery, it's not about staying cool, it's about staying tough. Heat causes battery fluid to evaporate, which corrodes your battery's insides. That's why Duralast batteries are designed and tested to start in extreme temperatures. How extreme? How does 167 degrees sound? So beat the summer heat with a battery that'll last. Get yourself a Duralast battery, sold only at AutoZone. Hoods up, America.
Get in the zone, AutoZone!
We've been telling you that Castrol Edge is a really strong advanced full synthetic motor oil. In fact, 3 times stronger than Mobil 1 against viscosity breakdown in the Kurt Orban test, a standard industry shear stability test.
But guess what Castrol has been up to? Castrol Edge has been testing and proving its strength in supercars.
Supercars are the pinnacle of engineering and the ultimate test for engine and oil performance.
So if you're into supercars, super speed, and super challenges, you've got to see this for yourself. Visit the Castrol USA YouTube channel today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Changing your oil regularly helps keep your vehicle running at its best. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, purchase 5 quarts of Havoline conventional motor oil and a MicroGuard filter for $16.99, or 5 quarts of Havoline Pro DS full synthetic for $25.99. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Mike and Mike on the Gym is presented by Hertzian and Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets, downtown Iowa City. Stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
The safety oath. Repeat after me. I will safely bring safety to my facility and keep it safe. I will safely keep my people safe. I will put safety first in everything I do, and I will safely do so with Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Grainger's got over 100,000 safety products to help keep our facility safe and our people safer. When it comes to safety, Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Feel the pull, Twins fans. That's the force of Target Field, drawing you and your friends into the diamond-shaped center of the universe, where stars like Brian Dozier and Trevor Plouffe blast baseballs to the surface of the sun, where you can get nachos in a helmet and donuts in a bucket. The theory of relativity is cool and all, but no science can explain the need to see a Twins game. It's a phenomenon, like gravity, like Joe Mauer's beard, like how the Twins are your ticket to summer.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
3:57 coming up on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class tomorrow. Cal Eldred will join us, second half of the baseball season underway. And also Bill Yeisley is going to join us from the Cedar Rapids Officials Association to talk about recruitment of new high school football officials. That'll be coming up in the Tuesday show.
Traffic update out just a few minutes ago. Reports are that I-380 northbound, the left lane is blocked from US 6 to exit 4 due to a crash. Again, I-380 northbound, left lane is blocked from US 6 to exit 4 due to an accident.
Yeah. So you may want to take an alternate route there if that is your normal way home on a Monday afternoon. Terry Ryan out. Mark, as the general manager of the Minnesota Twins, I guess somebody had to go, didn't they?
That's exactly the way I would put it. Whether he's a scapegoat or not is your opinion, but how far the Twins have fallen this year, something had to happen.
And we'll have Twins baseball coming up tonight as the Twins will be in Detroit to take on the Tigers. We'll join up with the broadcast at 7 o'clock with Corey Provis and Dan Gladden. And they'll be in Detroit again coming up tomorrow and then head to Boston on Thursday and Friday. APC next.
Hi, this is Lori Grenier. You've seen me on Shark Tank. Throughout my career, I've developed hundreds of innovative products that make people's lives easier. That's